This is the History of the World podcast, Illuminati Debrief.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome to the History of the World podcast Illuminati Debrief from a very, very cold Hot World Studios. And the problem being that this entire area is getting redecorated. All the radiators have been taken off the wall and the spring evenings and mornings are very, very fresh in the UK at the moment. And as such, what's going on is I'm sitting in the middle of this room with all of the furniture away from the walls. So I'm like stuck in the middle of the room, huddled in between empty bookcases and desks and sofas. And I'm basically sitting with layers of clothes on because I'm freezing cold. And this is the circumstances in which I am broadcasting to you now and in which I have broadcasted the last episode, the Battle of Ain Jalut. What an interesting episode, bringing together so many elements of our story and of our medieval story, I should say. So because we're focusing on China at the moment, it spilled over into the Mongolians and, the Mongols, I should say, the Mongol Empire. And it's brought us back to Europe and the Middle East. And by coming into the Middle East, we go back to the Arab world, which we were exploring right at the very beginning of this volume, volume four. And also, we touch upon the Crusader states, or as they are otherwise called, Outremer, to give them their French name, as they're often considered to be Frankish realms. Their origins was thanks to the Franks. And we look at how all of these elements tie together in this fascinating story. We also look at this strange historical state of the Mamluks, which is not an ethnic state but more a status state. So the Mamluks not actually being an ethnic group, being a name that the Arabs gave to their slaves. And we can almost see this somewhat in a lot of things to do with the Middle East, a bit like status. So I refer to the Franks being the fundamental element of the Crusader state. So they were referred to as Frankish. But in fact, it wasn't just Franks. It was people from all over. Christian Europe were contributing towards Outremer and the Crusader state. But in the same token, the Christian realms were referring to the Muslims as Saracens, regardless of where they came from. So they might have been from Fatimid Egypt, for example. They could have been from the Ayyubids. They were just all Saracens because they were Muslims. So it didn't matter what their status or where they were from, what country they were from, if you like. We see this also with the way the Christians refer to all of the Muslim Muslims of the Iberian Peninsula as the Moors, whereas really there were different dynasties coming and going, really. So they weren't all just one ethnicity, if you like. They were all Muslims from North Africa, fundamentally, but They were from different dynasties. They're just as likely to fight against each other as they were against the Christians. So it's interesting how foreign, like, what do they call it as a word for it? Exonyms. Exonyms. So what the names that foreigners give to other people are not always respectful of their origins, really, their specific origins. So very interesting. But anyway, some of the source material used for this episode, which we now post on the historyoftheworldpodcast.com website, so you can see the episode bibliography nowadays. It's something new that we started doing. I'm just going to put my phone on silent there. I can hear it going off in my ear. Oh, that's going to be quite annoying, isn't it, if that keeps going off? So I did go back to some of the books that I was using quite a lot. So The Mongol Empire, Chinggis Khan, His Heirs and the Founding of Modern China by John Mann, which is one book which I have heavily leaned on for these Mongol episodes. A History of War in 100 Battles by Richard Overy, which is a book that I often refer to for the battle episodes. Battles That Changed History, Epic Conflicts Explored and Explained by DK Books, and Battles Map by Map by DK Books. What these give me is a real backbone to the episode. They tell me exactly what the story of the battle was in a very easy to understand format. But the Richard Overy's book, The History of War in 100 Battles, really gives me a bit more insight. So this book is created by, you know, well-studied and understood brief description of the circumstances leading up to the war and what happened. But often the one thing that really helps me with these episodes is just going to Wikipedia just to give me a bit more bulk on some of the characters like Qataz and Hulagun Khan and Kitbuka. Just gives me a little bit about them, which is hard to find information about such characters on the web, but also other websites which are very interesting, like Britannica and weaponsandwarfare.com, which taught us about this funny weapon that the Mamluks were using, these funny handheld cannons, if you like, these midfas that were used to frighten the horses of the Mongols, and they appeared to work, but they didn't really have much in the way of an effect in terms of injuring your opponent. It's strange how gunpowder first came about, and when you think about how destructive it's been in battles of the modern world, certainly in the 20th century. It's incredible to think of how humble its beginnings were and how it was just not... You think gunpowder completely revolutionised warfare overnight. Well, it didn't. It didn't at all. It was just another sort of incendiary weapon. But anyway, very interesting to read about this battle and all of the different elements that were affected or involved in this. The fact that it really was the first time that the Mongols were shown up to be fallible in battle. They'd been so successful, so tactically adept and so skilled with their horse archers that they were not defeatable until this moment in time. And it may have been that if Hulagun Khan had stayed on the scene, that they would have defeated the Mamluks. But of course, with the Mongol Empire being what it was, as soon as the Great Khan died, it caused chaos. And the same kind of thing happened after the last episode's battle, the Battle of Legnica. Could the Mongols have capitalised on their foothold in Europe? We'll never know because of the death of the Great Khan. A goodie caused the armies to sort of disperse. So interesting to speculate, but also to analyse. Now, coming in our next episode, we're going to be looking at the travels of Marco Polo. So something that is often, you know, taught in schools, I suppose, and almost is a household name, Marco Polo. I've always felt about Marco Polo that his travels are really pale into insignificance compared to maybe Ibn Battuta, whose travels were really as bold as maybe Marco Polo's are made out to be. What Marco Polo did, he travelled alongside family members and ended up being a subject to Kublai Khan, and as such he was dispatched to different areas of the world where he learnt and wrote a lot and gathered a lot of knowledge. But it was really the fact that when he arrived back in Europe and he was in prison, that he was able to write about these things in a manner in which we could refer to after his lifetime and feel that it's a wonderful life adventure. But maybe we should do an episode on Ibn Battuta as well, you know, with all of his travelling. That was something which I believe is on a larger scale to Marco Polo. We often talk about Marco Polo in the Western world because we're more exposed to what he did. So the story itself has been spoken of for generations, and we're going to explore that episode in history, but once again ties up Europe with China and the Mongol dynasties. It ties it all together again. So it's a fascinating link between East and West, the story of Marco Polo. That's going to be the next episode. It's going to be in a couple of weeks' time, all being well, assuming all of this redecorating doesn't continue to disrupt me too much. I'm going to attempt to put a bit of time into it regardless of all of this chaos. Anyway, that's it for this week's debrief episode. Thanks very much for joining me. If there's anything that you would like to suggest or discuss during any of these debrief episodes, or likewise anything you want to talk to me about, then by all means, please do drop me a line at historyoftheworldpodcast@mail.com. I really do love receiving your emails. Thanks for joining me, and until next time, be good.
The History of the World podcast, written and presented by Chris Hasler. Please consider making a financial contribution by going to the historyoftheworldpodcast.com website and clicking on the Patreon link. Email the show at historyoftheworldpodcast@mail.com. And don't forget to join our social media at Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. See you next time.